Where Do They All Come From? Wondered Paul McCartney in 1966. Britain's government has taken a more analytical approach to lonely people. 5 years ago, it launched a loneliness strategy to tackle one of the greatest public health challenges of our time. The Office for National Statistics, or ONS, developed measures to test it. The government provided funds for research. It told doctors to try social prescribing, sending patients to social events rather than to the pharmacy. And it appointed a loneliness minister. Loneliness is one of many briefs that Andrew Stewart, MP for Pudsey, West Yorkshire, has at the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport. Yet it is tempting to scoff. Stephen Colbert, a comedian, joked that Minister for Loneliness sounded like a Victorian euphemism for gigolo. Loneliness is hard to pin down. The government defines it as a subjective, unwelcome feeling of lack or loss of companionship. Like all emotions, it is difficult to measure. So is the success of interventions designed to tackle it. It has probably become more common. Some 8.3 million people lived alone in 2022, a 16% increase in 2 decades. Many Britons have less cash for going out than before, and socialising online is no substitute for the real thing. The Campaign to End Loneliness, a charity, says 7% of British adults report being lonely often or always. Those aged between 16 and 29 are twice as likely to report feeling lonely as those over 70. A large study by Pamela Qualter, a professor of psychology at Manchester University, and others found that people in countries like Britain and America that score high for individualism also report greater loneliness. This matters because it seems to have a terrible effect on health. A large study in Nature Human Behaviour, a journal, found that people who are lonely are more likely to die early. That may be because they have no one to remind them to eat healthily, exercise, or go to the doctor.